Welcome to the Calvary Assembly Podcast, with weekly messages from the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Lexington, Nebraska. You can find out more online at lexag.org and on Facebook at Calvary Assembly Lex. Thanks for listening.
Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Acts. We're finishing up a series that we started a couple weeks ago called Dealing with Difficult People God's Way. You might be saying, why are we talking about that on a Sunday? Because a lot of the hurt that we have in life comes through what? People, right? And not the nice people, it comes through difficult people. So many of us have them in our lives at some place. If you don't have any difficult people in your life, it might be you. So always look in the mirror, right? Pastor Kenny said that last week. If you don't have those, it might be us. So we're going to turn to the book of Acts. So this morning, we're going to talk about how to help needy people. Now, when I say needy people, please understand, I'm not saying people who need food or need water. I'm talking about those people in our lives that are always in need of something. There was a guy who, he was 75 years old. He went golfing and came home and he was frustrated. His wife said, well, how was golf? He said, well, I was hitting the ball really well, but my eyesight has gotten so bad that I lose the ball all the time. I hit it well, but then I can't see it. He said, well, honey, you're 75. That happens. I said, yeah, but I love golf. And she said, well, why don't you take my brother Jack with you? And he said, babe, he's 85, and he doesn't play golf anymore. She said, yeah, but he's got perfect vision. He can see the ball. So the next day he went out, he took Jack with him. So he gets up, he hits a perfect drive right down the middle, and the ball just disappears. So I said, Jack, did you see the ball? He said, yeah, you hit it really well. He said, well, where did it go? And he said, I don't know, I forgot. So we all, I'm sorry. We all have needs, right? Well, guys, in life, we always want to help people because that's what Jesus does, right? But many times in life, we encounter people who are what we would call overly needy. Sometimes we call them relational vampires because they're just always taking, right? And so it might be someone who's always has drama. We know those people always have drama in their life. And, you know, the word ever has like three E's and two V's in it. They're like, oh, the worst thing ever just happened to me, right? It might be us. I don't know. We have those people that are always needing money, right? Hey, I need help with this bill. I need help with this bill. Well, what you need is a budget. Like, so let me help you. But we often help them. It might be people who just always have the longest stories, right? They just need someone to listen to them. We want to help. We want to be there. But sometimes if we keep giving, what happens? We end up becoming enablers instead of helpers. And so how do we help people that are always in need? We want to be there for them. We want to be Christ in their lives. But how do we help them in a healthy way? So we're going to look in Acts chapter 3. I love, love, love this story in the book of Acts. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Now, does this guy have real needs? Absolutely, right? He was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some what? Money. Now, why did this guy want money? What would money do for him? It would help him get food. It would help him get a meal, right? It's something he really needed. It was a physical need. But what did he need more than food? He needed healing, right? He needed Jesus to do something in him. So when people give him money, that was a temporary fix. But what did he need? He needed something bigger, right? And so Peter knew that, and he said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I will give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with him. Now, did you notice, when did the man actually get healed? Was it when Peter said, get up? No, it was when Peter helped him up. It said when he stood, helped him to see, then God healed him, right? He had to take a step. So it's an interesting story because Peter realized the guy had enough faith to be healed and God wanted to do that. Now, is that going to happen every time? No, I wish it did. That would be amazing. But God was doing something in this moment to help the man for life. So it says, all the people saw him walking and praising God. When he realized he was a lame beggar they'd seen at the Beautiful Gate, They were absolutely astounded. Then they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So guys, in this story, there's a man who had an actual need. And Peter and John helped him not just temporarily, but they helped him for life. They gave him something that he needed. So how do we help people like this? Because that's what we want to do. But how do we do it and stay healthy and help them in the long run? Well, there's a couple of things we can do. And the first is we have to give strategically. We don't give everything they need, but we give them what they really need. So what do we do? Well, the first thing is we have to keep emotional giving in check. Guys, it is so easy to see someone and just give them money because it does what? It helps them and also kind of scratches that itch that we have to help, right? It's an easy help. But sometimes that's not all people need. Sometimes it is. Sometimes people just need, hey, I'm short this month. Can you help me? Yeah, absolutely. I would love to help you. But when it's an every month thing, sometimes when we do that, we're doing what? We're enabling, right? Instead of helping. And so we have to be careful about this because it can lead to a habit of emotional giving and never actually give long-term help. So what we need to ask when we're tempted to give an emotional gift, what do? Am I really helping them or am I helping me feel better? It's easy when we see people sitting outside Walmart to give them $5, right? It's a little harder to go into the store and get them groceries and help them or to take them to a gas station and get them some gas. So it takes a little bit longer or more than that to sit down and help them. Hey, where are you at? Let me help you. And this is something we do all the time here at the church. People call, hey, pastor, I need a hotel room tonight. Okay, I would love to do that for you, but where are you going to go tomorrow night? Well, I don't know. Why don't you let me help you get into a shelter where you can stay for a month and get a job and do those things? Well, no, I just want this. It takes time, right? And so we need to ask, are we helping them? And so we give people what they want or what they need, not necessarily what they want. We give people what they need and not what they want. And as I've said, sometimes I'll say, hey, let me get you in a shelter. No. I just need a hotel room for tonight. But what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do the next day? What is your plan? Hey, will you help me? Will you help me pay my car payment this month? Well, how about I sit down and help you get a what? Budget. So we know where your money's going and you don't have to do this every month and you can live a little more peace, right? So what people do is they ask for what is going to help in the short term, but not necessarily what is the long term. They need help fixing the root of the problem. And guys, sometimes the most loving thing we can do is take time and say, hey, let me walk through this with you. Let me help you. Hey, there's this class called Financial Peace University. Let me pay for you to take this. Or hey, let me talk to you about what's going on in your relationship so that you can help get your relationship healthy instead of giving you a place to stay for the night. Let me help you the long term. So what we want to do is truly help them, not just put Band-Aids on. So what they did with this layman, what did they do? They gave him a hand up and not just a hand out. They helped him with what was going to help him in life. And so how do we do this, though? How do we see what's really going on? We pray about it. When we see somebody, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray about what's going on? I want to help you through this. Yes, I will give you this money to get you through this month, but let's help you together. Hey, yes, I'm going to help you with this fight with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, but let's sit down and figure out what's causing this. There are people who sometimes, they don't always tell us what the actual need is. It takes time. Well, I can't find a job. Well, I know there's 30 jobs open in town right now. So let me help you work on your resume. Let me help. And I've done that. I had a guy one time who said, I'm really having a hard time. Well, I sat down and helped him do a resume. Oh, yeah, I've got a lot more skills than I thought. Yeah, you do. We just need to write it down. So we know we want that. And then we need to be led by the Spirit when considering. Let the Holy Spirit lead us because he wants to help. And it takes more sacrifice, more time, and more faith often to truly help a person with what they need. And here's the thing. Sometimes when we give someone what they need and not what they want, what are they going to do? They're going to be upset. If you really love me, you would do this. I do love you. That's why I'm doing this. Well, I really need this. No, you need this. So we serve. So we keep emotional giving in check. But here's the big thing, guys. We serve wisely. We serve wisely. We see Jesus help people all the time. And here's the thing. Jesus gave of himself, but he also took the time to do what? To unplug, to recharge. So we need to make sure that we serve wisely. We give just like Jesus did, but we also take time to unplug. I love this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they said, hey, everyone is looking for you. What did Jesus do? Even the Son of God took time to what? To refill. Guys, if we don't take time to refill, we're going to try to give out an empty vessel. And what happens? We hurt ourselves in the long run. Jesus took time. They said, hey, everybody's looking for you. Absolutely. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm praying. And some of you parents know that, right? You have preschoolers. You go to the bathroom. What do you get? Hey! You get fingers under the door. Sometimes you get paws under the door, right? But sometimes we have to have boundaries. And here's the thing, guys. Sometimes we have to put boundaries in our lives with these people. I can't help you all the time. I need time with my family. I need time with my spouse. I love you, but I can only help this long. And I'll tell you a trick. When people come, they say, hey, I need to talk, and they do it all the time, put a time limit. Yeah, I'd love to talk, but I have to be here at this time, so we have this long. Let's talk. And it helps them get to the point a little faster. But we have to be able to unplug, because it's not selfish to take care of ourselves. But we need time alone with God so we can hear him. So if we don't occasionally say no, we can't keep saying yes. We have to say no sometimes, because there's people who are constantly wanting from us. And here's an amazing thing. You guys ever heard of a restaurant called Chick-fil-A? You can't go there today. Why? Because they're closed on Sundays. You know what happened? When they said, hey, we're going to be closed on Sundays, you know what everyone told them? You'll never make it. You cannot, in this economy, be open 6 days a week and prosper. You know what Chick-fil-A's doing on Sundays? Counting their money. Because they have so... I'm kidding, they don't. They rest. But Chick-fil-A makes tons of money the other 6 days. Why? Because they honor God by resting, by giving their employees rest. And God blesses them for it. Hobby Lobby. You want to go buy something at Hobby Lobby? Can't do it today because they're closed on Sundays and they're making tons of money, right? God blesses it. Guys, we are the same way. Sometimes we feel so guilty when we say, hey, I can't help you today. But that's the most loving thing we can do, because we need that time to recharge too, to be there for them, because we want to help them. So we have to keep saying no sometimes. God put Sabbath out for a reason. That means sometimes when you're on a date with your spouse, you have to just turn the phone off. Sometimes when you're taking a nap, it's okay, shut your phone off for an hour. Just don't forget to turn it back on, because then your alarm doesn't work. So we have to say that. And we have to realize that self-care is not selfish. Self-care is not selfish. We flew to France, so we had several flights. You know what they say every time when you're on a flight? If the masks come out, do what? Put your own oxygen mask on first before you help someone else. Why? Because if you can't breathe, you can't help someone else. I'm a firefighter. I'll tell you, I can't watch fire movies very often with my wife, because it's just, that is so not real. You know, they don't actually do that. And I hate it in the movies when the firefighter finds the victim, and what do? They take their mask off and put on the victim. Now you have two victims, because neither one of you can go anywhere. You know what we have on our mask? On our packs, we have a buddy port. You take an extra. If you're going to rescue somebody, you take an extra mask, you plug theirs into yours, and then you can both breathe. It's amazing how that works. The same thing, guys, spiritually. We can't take care of others if we're not taking care of ourselves. We cannot give out of an empty vessel. We have to allow God to fill us up as well. We have to allow him to pour into us if we're going to have something to give someone else. So we have to be wise about how we serve. Yes, I want to help people. Guys, I want to help people with need. That's why I do what I do. That's what God has called us all to do. But we have to make sure we're taking care of ourselves and we're serving wisely when we help other people. And here's the big thing, guys. We have to trust God fully. We have to trust that God is the answer. So we have to realize that we are not the answer to people's problems. I'm going to say that again. We are not the answer. Jesus, thank you, Cindy. Jesus is the answer. We are the what? We're the conduit. We're the vessel. I cannot meet everyone's needs. I point them to the one who can. You cannot meet all your spouse's needs. You point them to the one who can. You can't meet every need of every person. We have to realize Jesus is the one who's the answer, but he wants to use us. And to do that, we have to stay healthy. We have to be listening for his voice. It's dangerous to think that we're the answer to other people's problems. And here's the problem. When we start doing that, we start thinking, I'm the answer, we get into these codependent relationships. where I need them to need me. And that's not healthy. I want to do that. I want to put ourselves out of a job. We want to point them to Jesus and then help them get healthy. So then in turn, they can go and help someone else. It's this amazing chain, this multiplication. That's exactly what Jesus did. He brought in 12 disciples. He poured into them, who in turn turned and poured into others. And we see the church today where it is. So we're not the answer to everyone's problems. Jesus is. We're the delivery system. And so there's this principle of sowing and reaping at work in the world. And this is one of the biggest things we have to understand. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, listen to what Paul says. We read this a couple weeks ago. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Right? Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So you have to understand there are natural consequences. And so if I rescue someone every time they get in trouble, what am I doing? I'm not allowing them to work or to learn. I'm enabling. Sometimes we have to give people tough love. I've rescued you. I can't do it again. And guys, there's this new phenomenon called helicopter parenting. And we have college kids, we see this. Parents are actually moving to their kids' college town. My daughter was an RA, and she had a mom that would sneak into the boy's dorm to make her son's bed and do his laundry. I can't make this up. She would catch her sneaking upstairs. She said, "This is a guy's dorm. You can't be there." "Well, he needs me to make his bed." And she said, "No, he needs to make his own bed. And you need to grow up too," right? I mean, it was... She didn't learn that from me. But we have to understand that we have to allow our kids to grow up. We have to allow the people that we're helping to grow up. And sometimes doing that is allowing them to feel what? Consequences. And guys, I can tell you this because I was in this boat. There are sometimes people feel like they're always the victim, right? And I had a friend that was helping me. And he was a pastor. He was pouring into me. And I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. I was like, oh my goodness, everything's going wrong. And he finally one day said, "Hey, suck it up. People aren't always a problem. You're the problem in this case." And I went, "Wait, what?" And then he said, "Yeah, think about it." And you know what? He was absolutely right. He had to give me some tough love. It was kind of a kick in the pants. And I needed it. And then I grew up and I got better, right? And we all have that in life. So sometimes, guys, we have to understand that people sow and then they reap. And we want to help them, and we often do. But sometimes we have to say, you know what, I love you enough that I'm going to allow you to feel a little bit of pain this time. Because pain's a great teacher. You know, when we were kids, a lot of us, I'm aging myself here, but when I was a kid, we didn't have any safety plugs. Right? We didn't cover outlets. You know what my parents said? Put a fork in there, see what happens. You'll only do it once. Right? Go ahead, touch the hot pan once. And one time, right? Those kind of things. And we didn't have car seats, right? I mean, you hit the back of the seat once, you put a seatbelt on. I mean, that was kind of what happened. So we have to understand that sometimes, now we want to be safe. We want to have those things. But sometimes we can't protect people from everything because God wants to do this. So here's the thing. We have to trust God enough to let him teach people what they need to learn. In Luke chapter 15, I'm not going to read it because it's long, but there's an incredible story, a parable that Jesus taught. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. It was about a father had two kids, and one of them said, "Hey, I want my inheritance now. I want to go live life." And so basically he was saying, "You're dead to me. I want my inheritance." So the dad gave him his inheritance, his half. The kid went and lived, and guess what happened? He ran out of money, and he was hungry. He ended up working for a farmer. He ended up feeding pigs, which was the worst thing a Jewish person could do because pigs were unclean. He lost his identity as this man's son. And then eventually he came back to his senses, and he came back and said, "Dad, I want to be a servant." Dad said, "No, you're part of the family." But here's the incredible thing in that story. What did the dad do when the kid was out living wild? Did he go looking for him? Did he rescue him when he was feeding pigs? No. He allowed him to learn from consequences. And he eventually came back. But you know what that dad was doing the whole time? I guarantee, praying for him. And I'm not saying let your kids go run wild, but I am saying sometimes we have to allow people to feel consequences. we've had to counsel people. We've had people who are in abusive relationships. And we said, the best thing you can do is move out for a while and let them feel the consequences of what they're doing. And then when things get better and you get counseling, move back. We didn't advocate divorce, but we said sometimes they need to feel consequences, right? I had a guy that here in town that would have to leave every morning to go wake his high school son up so he'd get to school on time. I said, you know what? Let him get a tardy a few times. Like, he's 17 years old. He has an alarm. Those kind of things. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. And I'm one of those people. God has taught me the hard way many times because I'm hard-headed. I'm from Missouri. It's a trait, right? Right? That's what they always told us. Southern Missouri. I kid you not. My school mascot was a mule. I kid you not. In Poplar Bluff, Missouri, because they said we're stubborn people. So it makes so many things make sense now, right? But we have to trust God enough to teach. And so, guys, here's the deal. We want to help others. We want to be God's conduit. We want to point them to Christ and help them in the most healthy way we can. Sometimes we have to allow God to teach them the hard way. And then we're always there when they come back. So sometimes we have to give people what they need, not necessarily what they want. Sometimes we have to refill and set boundaries so that we can refill ourselves. But we don't ever want to abandon anyone, right? We don't give up on people. We give, we give, we serve, we love, we do it wisely, we allow Jesus to teach. So I'm going to ask if you're physically able, would you stand this morning? We're starting a new message series next week. It'll be way more fun than this one, but it's about dreams that God gives. But these are some things that we have to learn because we all have people in our lives who need help, and we want to help them the best way we can, and we do that by pointing them to Jesus. We do that by allowing Jesus to teach. We do that by being healthy ourselves so we can help others. So, Lord, right now, we just come all across this room and all of us watching online, and we thank you for putting us into the lives of people that we can help. But, Lord, we want to do that the best way that we can so that they're not dependent on us, but they're dependent on you. And, Lord, we want to be healthy. Lord, we want to be able to pour out because we have you with us. We want to have wisdom as we help. But Lord, more than anything, we want to point people to you to help them grow so that they can in turn help others. And so what I pray that you would use each and every one of us and that you would speak to us today. So I'm going to ask every person in this room, just close your eyes for a moment. Shut yourself in with the Lord. And allow him to search our hearts. So Lord, right now, all across this room, if there are any of us here that don't have a relationship with you, we've never started that, if we never asked you to forgive our sins and never stepped into a relationship with you, Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Or if there are any of us here who are in unhealthy relationships, we're at a point where they're dependent on us instead of being dependent on you. God, would you give us wisdom? Or if any of us are here today and we're pouring out of an empty vessel because we haven't allowed ourselves to refill, would you show us that? Or if there are some of us here that may need to let someone feel some consequences because we've rescued them so many times, God, would you speak to us as well? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor Rex, I'm in that first boat. I've never asked Jesus to forgive my sins. If I was to be really honest, I would say I'm really far from God today, but I want to take that step towards him. I want to ask him to come into my heart and forgive my sins. If that's you, just slip your hand up right where you're at. We just want to pray with you this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? Pastor Rex, I'm pouring out of an empty vessel. I haven't set boundaries. I haven't allowed God to refill me, and I just need Jesus to fill me up today. If that's you, just slip your hand up right where we're just going to pray for God to refill today. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I'm kind of in an unhealthy place. I have someone who's dependent on me, and I just need wisdom and how to help them best. That's you. Would you slip your hand up? We want to pray with you. Yeah. I've got people in my life. I just want to help. If you're here and you say, you know what? There's someone in my life that I keep rescuing, and I feel like I'm enabling them, and I just want God to give me wisdom. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Yeah. So I'm just going to say a prayer for all those that raise their hands, and then we're going to close out with a song. If you want prayer for something specific, maybe God has laid a person on your heart that you want to pray for, you can come up to the front. We'd love to pray with you here. But Lord, right now, I just pray for all of us this morning who are dry and who need to be refilled. Lord, I just pray that you would pour your spirit into us today, that you'd fill us with hope, with joy, with peace. Lord, those of us who've been pouring out and pouring out, God, would you pour back in and help us to have wisdom in how to help, but also to have boundaries. Lord, for those who are in unhealthy relationships or those who have people in their lives that they need to maybe give a little space so that you can teach, God, would you give wisdom on how to help those? Or would you give us wisdom? Would you give us discernment? And help us to be led by the Spirit and how best to help them, to point them to you and not to us. In Jesus' name, amen.